Welcome to the Generations Radio Program. This is Kevin Swanson. I'm Executive Director for Christian Home Educators, but also a pastor and a father. And we broadcast from my basement here in Elbert County, Colorado. Commenting on the demise of Western civilization from a safe distance, I might add. And we are optimistic, incredibly optimistic for the future of our families, our children, and our grandchildren. Because we are getting back to the right worldview and forming our lives on that worldview. Well, I want to take a look at the two-income problem today on this program, and I'm going to draw from Dr. Elizabeth Warren, who is a law professor at Harvard. She has a book out called The Two-Income Trap, and she has a lecture on YouTube, which I watched last night. Again, this is Dr. Elizabeth Warren, who's arguing that the two-income household is a trap. Now, Dave, I'm not sure if she is recommending that the woman go to work and the man stay home, or the man go to work and the woman stay home, but she seems to indicate that we've got a trap here. And more and more you're seeing men wanting to stay home and having the woman do all the work. Certainly with the single mother household, you're seeing that happen a fair amount. And, of course, the pagans would always do that. You remember the Native Americans when Lewis and Clark found them in their native state. The women were doing almost all the work, paddling the canoes, and the men were sitting around and smoking peyote and engaging in tribal warfare from time to time. But that's the direction that men are heading, and women are doing more and more of the work these days.
Well, Kevin, you go around the country, all over the country, and you tell men to get a vision. Some men have this vision, the vision where they sit on their throne, and all the other people, their wives, their children, come around and wait on them, hand and foot, making their life a life of leisure and ease, so they can get another vision.
That's the other kind of patriarchy.
Yeah, that's the other kind of patriarchy, and we, of course, say that with a big smile on our face. That's not what God intended, and that's not what leadership is either. But, you know, there is a war against boys in the schools, and there's a difficult path for many men in the corporate world as they compete against women, especially have been taught to be gentlemen, to open the door for the woman. They might be competing on that job for that job for the woman, and a lot of corporate life is basically sitting at a desk, being quiet, things that perhaps rambunctious young boys who grow into men don't excel at.
Yeah. And egalitarianism is ruining our economies, and people are finally acknowledging that, like Dr. Elizabeth Warren from Harvard University. She says in 1970, a woman with a 16-year-old child was less likely to be in the workforce than a woman with a 6-month-old today. And there are far, far, far more women working today outside of the home than in 1970. You've got a huge number. 64% of kids under 5 years of age are latchkey. And that's up from single digits just a few decades ago. And ladies and gentlemen, we would have expected families to be much wealthier in 2007 if you had a double-income household. And that's what Elizabeth Warren says. She said we would have expected families to be far wealthier. Instead, they are not. They are far, far, far poorer than they were in 1970. There's slightly more income for these households, but they save far, far less. The savings rate has dipped from 11% in 1970 to -1% and -2% over the last couple of years. Revolving debt as a percentage of annual income was only 1.4% of annual income back in 1970. Now it's 15%. They're far, far, far more in debt. There's far less savings, and they are far, far poorer. Now she compares the amount they spend on different things. She said, okay, since our standard of living is falling and we have far, far less money today than we did back in 1970, why? Why is this the case? Well, number one, it's not because of the price of clothing. A family of four is now spending 32% less on clothing than they did in 1970, thanks to, well, China, Vietnam, and Cambodia. We import most of our clothing from these places. So a family of four is spending far less on clothing. They spend about 25% less on groceries and 52% less on appliances. Also, the price of cars, individual cars, has come down, and they keep their cars 2 years longer than they did in 1970. Now, so where is the money going? And this is the question that Dr. Elizabeth Warren asks. Okay, if you got two incomes, why are families far more miserable and far less wealthy than they were in 1970? Well, it's going to the mortgage. We have a 76% increase on housing. on the mortgage. Actually, the cost of the home is 100% more. It's about double as it was. These are all inflation-adjusted prices. They're spending 100% more on their homes in 2007 than they were in 1970, adjusted for inflation. That's the average home in America.
That's because they need all that more room for their big, large families, all the children they have, right?
No. Dave. No, they have far less children than they did back in 1970.
So they have bigger houses and fewer children?
Far bigger houses. Now, not a lot bigger than 1970, but certainly much bigger than the average house in 1950 and the average house in 1900. We're looking at homes that are three times the square footage today than they were 100 years ago, while families are having half the children. So what does that make? About six times the size of the home as it was back in 1900. So you've got a 100% increase in the home. You've got a 74% increase on health costs, 74% increase in health costs.
That's to pay for all those children going to the dentist.
And that's just, yeah, and that's just not Benny's. That's everything else. That's what the family contributes to health care costs adjusted for inflation. And again, 74% increase, my friends, on health care since 1970. A 42% increase in cars because you've gone to a two-car family, obviously. 100% increase in child care, of course, and 25% increase in taxes. Now here's another kicker. The other kicker is that families feel that they need to pay more for a decent education if their children are going to make it to a decent middle-class income. That's the way families see it these days. And whereas back in 1970 they felt they could make it on a K-12 education, now families are seeing that the average person is not prepared for a middle-class income of $45,000-$50,000 a year with a high school education anymore. They need more than that. They're going to need trade school. They're going to need 4 years of college. They're going to need 2 years, and now they feel like they need that 2 years of preschool education in order to compensate for what used to be a K-12 education back in the 1970s. And why is that? Because, of course, the character of the nation has declined, and the educational quality of schools has declined sharply over the last 35 years. Also, folks, one of the reasons why housing is so expensive, according to this Dr. Elizabeth Warren from Harvard University, who spent the last number of years of her life investigating this whole issue of the middle-income household that is in decline, thanks to the two-income household situation. And so what we're finding is that people are seeking houses in good school districts. As you know, the price of houses has everything to do with location. Location, location, location. If you know anything about real estate. So what people are doing is they're finding the best houses in the best school districts, and there's a great deal of competition to get into those school districts. And Dave, as you know, school districts, good school districts, are usually located in good areas where you have fairly stable families. And where you have the single family income, where you have an increase in the crime, you have very, very bad school districts. And, of course, you still have reasonable prices on those homes, but people don't want to live in those districts anymore.
People don't want to live where there's crime and where there is a culture of corruption. Now, there's a particular kind of corruption they don't want to live around. They don't want to live around the young guys hanging out at the street corner with their pants hanging off the rear end who have no ambition, really bad character. What they really don't want to live around is a lot of single mothers raising children. They're okay with living around divorcees. They want the picture of Ward and June Cleaver. That's kind of what they're aiming for. They even don't mind living around the single guy who's doing pretty well for themselves. They don't want to live around those people collecting food stamps with dispiteous children. That's what they don't want to live around. Basically, they don't want to live around the fruits of our society.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, talk about serious economic problems due to the double-income households, the latchkey problem that we have brought upon ourselves since the 1970s in this country. We have seen a corruption of character, corruption of the education systems, a corruption of our economy. And, folks, here is the bottom line for Dr. Elizabeth Warren. You deduct the major expenses, 100% increase on housing, 42% increase on cars, huge increases on all these major expenses. You deduct these major expenses, you have less money left over than the one-income parents had a generation ago in 1970. And, therefore, you have a far greater risk of bankruptcy and far more bankruptcies among these middle-class families today than you did in 1970, far more vulnerability to job loss. The middle-class family is under far, far more stress today than they were in 1970, and they are unable to help the poor, and, of course, for that reason, there is not much upward mobility for the poor either. We are reverting more towards a two-class society. Why? Because the middle class does not have the resilience to handle the bumps, the economic and chronic health problems that could occur, and they are constantly living on the edge of the cliff. And folks, and the solutions are varied, all right? The solutions to this problem are varied. The obvious solution that is introduced by the modern world to the average family today is don't get married. All right. And Dave, you know, this is exactly what's happened. I mean, people respond to economic issues. They realize that a family of four cannot get by like they could back in 1970. And so their solution is to not get married. And then once they get married, they don't have kids. And we know couples who have been married, friends of ourselves. And Dave, I'm sure you know these same people who've gotten married. And because they don't quite have that $70,000 of income that they want or that $80,000 of income, they're putting off having children. And with a few exceptions, you've got some crazy homeschoolers out there having a few kids. But by and large, these middle-income folks are not having children. And, of course, because they're not having children, they won't perpetuate the middle class. They won't raise children with strong character because they're not raising any children at all. And if they do raise children, they'll be slobs because they're not raised and nurtured in homes where parents are caring for them. They're actually latchkey kids by the time they're 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 years of age. And so there you have it. They don't have children or they don't get married, and you have young people not getting married till they're 35, 36, 37 years of age. And, of course, last year for the first time, we saw that the nuclear family in America fell below the 50% mark as a percentage of American households. So, ladies and gentlemen, the family has been decimated in this country thanks to this economic vision of the egalitarians sending mom and dad to work. Now, here's the process. The process whereby this happens is, number one, you obliterate the household economy and develop a public school system. Create an egalitarian system where you send both mom and dad to work. You undermine the character of a nation. You create much larger houses. You double the square footage of houses, and then you get both dad and mom into the workforce, create latchkey children and far, far less character for the youth, and then get everybody in as much debt as possible. And that happened since the 1980s and 1990s. And then you watch the economy languish and crumble. And then you hard sell birth control, and people will have 1.1, 1.2, 1.5 children per family. And then you get all your birth implosions, your euthanasia, and your broken economies. Now, that's the vision of the left. That's how you destroy a nation. That's how you destroy economies. But we've got an even better vision than that. We want to talk about a biblical vision whereby we repair economies, we repair families, and we reintegrate families in the modern world. Folks, we've been talking about some negative things in the first segment of the program, and it is negative. The economy is falling, and the middle income may be disappearing, and we're seeing egalitarianism crushing a nation. Well, it's the wrong worldview. The problem is you bought into the wrong worldview, and you've been educated in it, and you've been exercising that wrong worldview for the last 100 years of your life. Well, we're talking about a biblical worldview, and we're building our families on this worldview. And we're going to ask the question, should you go to a two-income household? Should you prepare your daughters for two-income households? Or is that the wrong worldview that destroyed the American economy and obliterated the middle class? Be back in just a moment to talk about real solutions on the Generations Radio broadcast. This is Kevin Swanson. Folks, with this radio program, we're bringing relationships and truth back to a lost and lonely world. That's why we advocate homeschooling, mentorship, family-based economics, and a biblical worldview, all as part of our homeschool ministry based in Colorado. For homeschooling seminars, curriculum, and encouragement, visit our website at chec.org. That's check.org on the web. For apprenticeship, mentorship, and entrepreneurship training for your children and your family, you need to hook up with our AME program at ameprogram.com. That's ameprogram.com. You know, the Generations Radio program is a ministry of generations with vision, where we work hard to cast a vision for the next generation through each and every radio broadcast. Tune in online at generationsradio.org for the daily show, the blog, and the online store. That's generationsradio.org. Welcome back to the Generations Radio broadcast. This is Kevin Swanson talking about the real things of life because I happen to be a father, all right? I've got 5 children. I've got a son who's 17 years old, a daughter 15, Emily, and then Rebecca Joy is 13, Bethany is 11, and Abigail is 8. So I've got 5 children, 4 daughters, and a son. And Dave, this is important. We got to ask the question, are we going to prepare our children for double-income households? And the answer to that is going to come at the end of the program. Because I think the answer is going to surprise you. Now, don't second guess what we're going to say, because we're going to surprise you at the end of the program. But let's talk about this whole issue of this double income. Once you get the father out of the home, and then you kick the mom out of the home, and then you kick the kids out of the home, and everybody's out of the home, and everybody's out there doing whatever they're doing, it turns out that it's really not all that profitable for the family. Now, I was thinking about this the other day. Emily and I were shopping for groceries for the family, and Emily does a lot of the cooking. She's 15 years old, and she loves to cook. And she does a lot of the cooking for the family. So I said, Em, let's figure it out. If we ate out just dinners every night for all year long, how much would that be? And I figured it'd be $17,000. Then I calculated what we'd spend on groceries, and it was something like $3,000 to $4,000. And I did the math, and it turns out we are spending $14,000 less than we would if we ate out every night. So you're saving $14,000 if you fix dinner. In other words, that's the labor that goes into fixing dinner. Of course, it also involves creating a nice ambiance and everything else that a restaurant would have, hopefully, and hopefully it's a pleasant experience and so forth for those that are eating there in the home.
It's really hard to create that playland right in the middle of the house. And the Big Macs at home don't taste quite the same.
Yeah, but the eating at home experience can be a wonderful experience, and we do everything we can to create that. And Emily does a really good job, and I was just, congratulating her that she's saving us $14,000 a year. Now, she's not the only person who does the work, but that we're saving $14,000 a year because we eat our dinners at home.
Did she hit you up for an increase in her allowance?
Yeah,
$14,000, I should get
exactly
a piece of that.
Dad, yeah, exactly. So we've got contribution here. With people fixing dinners, we've got an economic contribution happening by saving $14,000 per year by eating within the home. Now, if you had the double income, of course, if you're eating out, that's $14,000. If you've got the extra car and the gas, that's $7,000 per year. Now, that's an average expense across the entire United States over a large sample size. That's $7,000 a year for the average car. That includes gas, maintenance, and all the rest. The extra cost of a house in an expensive area near a decent school, according to the statistics that Dr. Elizabeth Warren has provided here, it's $10,000. It'd be an extra $10,000. Taxes would yield about an extra $5,000. Again, this is for the second income. If your wife goes to work, it'd be an extra $5,000. And child care, about $4,000. $4,000 is about average for child care expenses for those that that use child care where there's a double income household.
And that would only be those with children.
Right. So all of that would yield $40,000. Okay. So again, all these expenses that are brought on because you have to work outside of the home because you don't have time to manage the home would yield a total of $40,000 a year, which is significant, Dave. I would say the average woman who's working outside of the home is probably barely making $40,000.
Well, even if she isn't, we're still working ourselves into poverty. I mean, even if she's a big trial lawyer and she's making $140,000, we're still working ourselves into poverty. You might have a nicer house that sits vacant most of the time. You might have dinners out a lot, and the kitchen sits vacant most of the time. In other words, you're just buying a whole bunch of stuff you don't get any use out of. And the relationship gets a little cold, too, when two people are going their different ways. And maybe mom does have a very important job. But that very important job usually comes with a cost, not just in dollars, but in time.
And you're right. You're right, Dave. The number one issue, again, the reason why our economy is failing, the reason why our education system is failing, the reason why our systems are failing is a failure of the national character. And the national character is built upon the character that is infused in children over the 12, 14, 18 years they're raised in homes across this land. And as children have less and less time with mother and father, my friends, we have seen a concomitant decrease in the character of these individual children. Those 5-year-olds, those 6, 7, 8, 9, 10-year-old children need the nurture of a home. And Dave, this is a cost that is not being assessed. As we talk about the $40,000, we're not assessing the loss of character that happens when there is no mother, there is no father to be there with that 5, 6, 7, 8, 9-year-old child to nurture that child, to love that child as only a parent can. We're losing the character of a nation, my friends. We're seeing our economy crash because of this two-income household problem. And this two-income household is going to yield the unraveling of the character of a nation.
We're not just losing the character, we're losing the nation, because that generation that was not nurtured will not know how to nurture the next generation. And each successive generation gets further and further removed from what we used to call a healthy home, and now they become an institutional home. Pretty soon, that great vision where children are raised in test tubes, go to the state right away, the Jean-Jacques Rousseau, the Brave New World's vision, is going to seem pretty palatable.
That's a powerful point itself, Dave. I appreciate you sharing that on the program. But folks, you know, talking about the solutions, what are the solutions for this? And you know that the other side is saying the solution is to not get married, shack up with a girl, move on to the next girl, and create 37% of kids born without fathers. No, make that 50%. No, make that 70%. Let's create as many divorces as possible. And the solutions are to not have children. Hence, we see birth implosions in most of the developed countries around the world now. And the world is really coming to a screeching halt, my friends, except for the fact that there are people who are still embracing a biblical, godly vision of the family, and they are getting married, and they are having children, and they are actually doing what it takes to have a family. They are nurturing. They are taking the quantity and quality time necessary to raise those children in the fear of God. They've got an even better idea than sending a woman to work and then winding up losing all $40,000 and then losing everything, all your equity into all sorts of debt, and seeing your savings move into the negative territory, which we've seen happen over the last 2 to 3 years. We've got an even better idea than that, and that is, here it is, listen carefully, folks, live in a cheaper area, homeschool your children, give them a far better education than they would get in the most expensive school district you can find in the entire metro area. That's right. Homeschool your own children and give them a far, far, far better education. And I don't need to go through all the statistics, but the most recent statistics that we've seen just in the last year is that homeschoolers are doing 36 to 40% better than the national average on standardized tests. That's 36 to 40 percentile points better than the average public schooled kid in America. Ladies and gentlemen, there are parents who have sense. And they're saying, forget this double income vision. I'm going to go have a relationship with my kids. I'm going to go disciple my kids. I'm going to homeschool my kids. We'll live in a cheaper area. We might even live in an 800 square foot home like they did back 100 years ago. And we're going to be happy with an 800 square foot home because we're not materialistic. We learn to love each other in small homes better than we love materials and drywall. We're going to put family relationships over money. We're going to develop home-based businesses where mom and children can work together in those home-based businesses. We're going to cook our own meals and save $14,000 a year. We're going to take a little more time in shopping and look for the sales and get the good deals. And we're going to start saving our money and get out of debt. That's a different worldview. It's a completely different worldview. But it's a worldview that we've been practicing. I've been practicing this for the last, 18, 20 years out of my life. And it's great. It's great. Damn, I see the rest of the world doing this crazy stuff. You know, I went and bought a cheap piece of property out here in the middle of nowhere. Well, so did you. And here we are broadcasting.
I'm on the edge of nowhere.
I am in nowhere.
You're in the middle of nowhere. Yeah. I'm on the edge of nowhere.
Exactly. But we're so happy. We were able to get out of debt a number of years ago, and you know, we're homeschooling 5 of our own children. We don't worry about these problems that the rest of the world are worrying about. It's a different worldview, Dave. I think we've just got a different worldview operating here.
But from the other worldview, from a purely economic standpoint, you can send your wife, your mom, to work, and she can work really hard, and she can pay all those expenses, and her net hourly wage is somewhere around 25 cents an hour.
It's awful. It's awful.
Or she can stay home
and
treasures in heaven.
And subject herself to sexual abuse and intimidation in the workplace. And we know that happens. And divorce is far, far, far more common among two-income households than one-income households. We know that. So divorce is happening right and left because there is no family unity in the economy happening. You can destroy your family. You can destroy your wife. You can raise your daughters with this wonderful vision. Or you can go with the vision of the unified household. And Dave, what is the answer to the question? Is it worth it to prepare our children for two-income households? Actually, I'm going to prepare my children for seven-income households. talking about a unified household in the economic vision. But I'm saying, you know, as we have children, our children are going to work. And we're going to yield some fruit. And we're going to develop household-based businesses. That's the difference. We're not saying that our daughters and our wives are sitting around eating bonbons all day long. No, they're going to be involved in family economy. We're talking about bringing a unified family economic vision together here, folks. And we're talking about having lots of children and bringing them into the household business. and developing these wonderful household-based businesses and creating a unified household based upon the concept God brought forward when he said, the two shall become one, and they are no more two. They are one. And it's been the modern corporate lifestyle, Dave, that I think has shattered the unity of the household.
Well, rather than send your wife off to become the helpmeet of some other man, wouldn't it be better if she was your helpmeet? If the two of you were working for a common vision, a common goal, a common household, not just a house, not to pay off the mortgage, but a household, an endeavor that the household engages in, or endeavors, plural, even better. You know, Adam Smith, the famous economist, wrote the book Wealth of Nations. In it, he said that the key to accumulating wealth, especially intergenerational wealth, is to have lots of children. That made perfect sense in an agrarian culture where you had more helpers and more workers. You know, that's still true today. The more sons you have, the more laborers you have, the more income streams you're able to have in those endeavors, the more people are contributing to that household vision. We just need to get the vision back.
And our household hums, my friends. We're all together in our household vision. We've got all these ministries and these household economic ventures going in this home, and everybody's involved. I've got seven people. We're all involved in this, and we enjoy working together, and we are producing all kinds of dominion work for the glory of God. And I hope that you can gain a little bit more of a vision here from this program. Folks, we're bringing a biblical perspective, God's perspective back. We really believe that God is smart, God is good, and if we just go do things God's way, he will bless us as a nation, as families. And so let me encourage you to get back to the principles of God's Word. I bring out these economic principles in my book, The Second Mayflower. I would encourage you to grab a copy of that book at kevinswanson.com. Again, I wrote that book as a means by which we bring a biblical worldview to bear in our economic, political, and social systems. And you can grab a copy of the book, The Second Mayflower, again, at our website, kevinswanson.com, where you can hear the program anytime, anywhere in the world. At KevinSwanson.com. This is Kevin Swanson inviting you back again next time as we cast some vision for the next generation.